Psalm 92. I love the book of Psalms, and I always like to read one on the Lord's Day morning. And today we want to read Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. God always adds his blessing to the public reading of Luke chapter 5. To the book of Luke and to the chapter 5. This is maybe a familiar passage to you. We want to read some of the chapter to refresh it in our minds. Luke chapter 5, and we'll commence to read at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am sinful. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen, and we know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just... The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter here in verse 10 of this chapter, he said, Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. That was the task that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving out to Peter. That phrase really means, in the original, thou shalt take men alive. Peter, you shall take men alive, men that are living. That is the job for you now, to catch men. You see, everybody is caught by somebody. And that's not only if you're married. Everybody will be caught by somebody. We will either be caught for Christ, or we will either be caught by the devil. As we live our lives, we will either serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will either serve the devil. Everybody will serve somebody. Everybody will be caught by somebody. But if, as Christians, if we could only grasp that truth, that everybody that lives in Coleraine or wherever we live, that they will be caught by somebody, if we could only grasp that truth, how our hearts would be stirred up. The majority of people at the moment are not saved. The majority of people are going on in a cold and in a careless way. So therefore, at the moment, they are serving the devil. This passage teaches us some very valuable lessons in the business of soul winning and bringing others to Christ. We are here as Christians to be fishers of men. That is our job. And in this portion in Luke chapter 5, there are some very important truths that I want to bring to your attention very quickly this morning. And I believe if you're a Christian here today, and by a Christian I mean somebody that is saved, somebody that has repented of their sin and turned away from sin and turned to Christ, this is what we should be doing, and these are the truths that we ought to learn in God's house today. The first thing that we notice are those most unlikely. Those most unlikely. Do you know those whom the Lord is pleased to choose? Those whom the Lord sets his heart upon to be soul winners often are the most unlikely people. They often appear to be the most unlikely. They often look the most unlikely. They probably often behave the most unlikely as well. But Jesus wants preachers. He wants pioneers of his work. He wants those who will put forth the gospel. He wants those to spread the good news wherever they go. Jesus went to the seashore and he found humble and unlearned men. Maybe that describes you today. Maybe you're a humble person. Maybe you're an unlearned person. Turn over to 1 Corinthians and the chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God doesn't want the wise. God doesn't want the high and the mighty. God doesn't want the noble. God wants the foolish. God wants the weak things. Those are the very people that God is pleased to use in his work. Maybe you feel that you're too weak. Maybe you feel that you're too foolish. Maybe you feel that you're not learned enough to do something for God. Well, that is the very type of person that God wants in his work. Those verses should encourage every single Christian. God wants to use ordinary people. Those people who at first seem quite unlikely. Those people who at first seem very unsuitable. But yet whenever the Lord takes them up and is pleased to use them, what a wonderful thing and what wonderful works they can do for God. We would maybe look at a housewife and say, God wouldn't want the housewife, God would want the professor. We would maybe look at the bin man and say, God wouldn't want the bin man, God would want the businessman. But who was God pleased to choose? In Luke chapter 5, God was pleased to choose fishermen. Rough, clumsy, unlearned fishermen. Sometimes we look at Christians with intellect. We look at Christians with knowledge. We look at Christians that have the ability to pray and listen to their prayers and see how long that they pray. We listen to Christians that have the ability to talk. And we say God will use them mightily. But those aren't the type of people that God wants. God wants the foolish things, the weak things. God wants the humble things. God takes ordinary men and women. God takes ordinary young people. And he makes them extraordinary in his work. I was encouraged to hear our brother announce the young people's open air. what a great thing it is to take your stand for the Lord. Just to go with the young people, and if you are a young person, just to go in that group of young people and just stand there. Don't do a thing, just stand there and you're taking your stand for the Lord. What a great and wonderful thing it is to take a stand for the Lord. We see those that are most unlikely, but we also notice the experiences that are embraced. When the Lord calls us, we discover that all of our natural gifts, whenever the Lord calls us into His work, we discover that our backgrounds, our history, the things that we have done in our lives, the experiences that we have lived, the person that we are, God uses those things in His work. But yet to us, those things seem so ordinary. Those things seem so insignificant, but those are the very qualities that the Lord needs and is pleased to use in His work. What better preparation could there be for fishing for men than fishing for fish? I don't know if you're a fisherman or a fisherwoman. I don't know if you've ever been fishing. I have, and it's not the most exciting hobby that anybody could ever choose. But it's very relaxing and it's very nice out in the fresh open air. You're standing there out at the river. Out you go. If you're fly fishing, it's probably more active than ordinary float fishing. But what better preparation could there be? Fishing for men than fishing for fish. Think of the training that these men had. What training these fishermen had. Trained in patience. These men were trained in watchfulness, in perseverance, in courage. These things, they were the very qualities that the Lord was looking for. These fishermen, they had the qualities that they had to have to be successful soul winners. But yet, as we would stand and look at these fishermen, we would say, no, the Lord wouldn't want them. Those men are too rough, they're too clumsy, they're unlearned. Look at the state of them, look at the talk of them. Look at their demeanor. We have this idea in our mind about what the Lord needs. But the Lord knows exactly what He needs. Whenever we enter into the Lord's service, He uses all that we are. He uses all that we have to bring glory and honor to His name. God chooses those men because of their ability and their experience. They were hard, tough men. Yet in the midst of the Lord's work, they became gentle, gracious. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. These men were qualified in fishing because they had been fishing for fish. Because of their experience, they were the men that the Lord wanted to use. Do you ever ask yourself the question, why has God brought me this way? For what reason has God brought me down this path? Why do I live here? Why do I work at this? Why am I here? What have I done? Why has this circumstance come into my life? As you look back over your life, and the older you get, obviously, the more experience of life you have. But as you look back over your life's experience, some things are hard to understand. Some things are hard to explain. Simple, silly, honest, disappointing experiences in your life. And you don't know why you've went that way, and you don't know why the Lord has brought you that way. But listen, the Lord has brought you that way for a reason. These men were fishermen. And God had a job for them to do, and He chose them because they were fishermen. Because of their qualities, their experience, all of the things that they had done and achieved in life, all of the things that they had learned in life. Think of the things that you have learned in life. I often say to myself, if I knew 10 years ago what I know now, things might be different. But I didn't know 10 years ago what I know now, because I have lived, I have walked, I have learned as my life has went on. I have gleaned and gained more experience. Psalm 18 verse 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. Friend, today use all of your experiences for the Lord. Sometimes you look back over your life and it's maybe a bad experience, a disappointing one, a difficult one. Use it for the Lord. The Lord can use all of those things for His glory and His honor. Notice with me also the impossibility that we must grasp. It is impossible to win souls without the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 of this chapter teaches us a very important truth. Look at it with me. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. What did the Lord Jesus Christ commanded the disciples to do? In verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That was the command. Go out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught of fishes. You see, these men had been fishing all night. And they had caught nothing. And by their own admission, Simon in verse 5, he says, Lord, Master, we have fished all night and we've caught nothing. What difference is it going to make? We have been out there fishing all night. Why should we go out now? What's going to be the difference? These words are so true of ourselves. Do you notice the words that he used there? We and nothing. You know, as I read that verse, those are the two words that I underlined and read. We and nothing. Because we of ourselves can do nothing. And we of ourselves are nothing. We need the Lord to make a difference. And as we go out into the Lord's work, wherever it is, whatever we're doing, we need the Lord to go with us. We need the Lord's help and we need the Lord's power. Without Christ, the result will always be nothing. Nothing. Notice what happens with the Lord. Because whenever the Lord was there, whenever he had commanded, we see what happens in verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Notice the difference? Do you notice what happens whenever the Lord was with them? Do you notice what happens whenever the Lord gave them the enablement to do what he had commanded them to do? And the Lord has commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. As Christians, the Lord has commanded us to serve him. What does the Lord require of us as Christians? It's to walk closely with him, to walk humbly after him, to serve him, to love him, to have that desire to get to know him more. I'm not asking you to go to Africa. I'm not asking you to go to the other side of the world and do something for God. I'm not asking you today to go to Bible college. I'm asking you to serve the Lord, to be faithful to the Lord. With all of your experiences, with all of what you are, give it to the Lord. And he will take it and he will use it for his work and for his glory. You know, sometimes Christians have a mindset that to be in the service of the Lord, you have to be in the work of the Lord. Listen, every Christian should be serving the Lord and working for the Lord. And do you see what happened when the disciples, when these rough fishermen went out on the Lord's word? Verse 7, they filled both ships. They filled both ships. John 15 and 5 tells us, without me, ye can do nothing. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Without me, ye can do nothing. How slow we are to learn these lessons. So often we struggle on through life on the arm of the flesh. How many of the experiences in our lives, bad experiences, disappointing experiences, how many of these experiences, how many of them were we muddling through it on our own strength? How many times were we just going on the strength of our own flesh? We never looked to the Lord. We never relied on the Lord. We never turned to the Lord. We never depended on the Lord. We can mend the nets. We can use the skills and abilities that we have learned about life. But we need the Lord to go with us. On our own, we most definitely will fail. These were fishermen. I would not discount their experience for one moment. But yet they went out for one night's fishing and they never caught one single fish. Can you explain that to me? You can't say it was because of lack of experience. You can't say because of any other reason. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord to go with us. The Lord must be present. He must be working if there are ever to be results. Winning souls on our own is impossible. Brilliant sermons, clever conversations, well-dressed, well-versed Christians will never, ever, ever win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can testify as to what Christ can do, but of themselves they will never bring souls to Christ. We need the power of Christ. Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Do you know what that word might really means? That word might gives the indication of an army. Not by almost the strength of an army. It doesn't matter how much strength you have. It's not about that. But it's by my power, saith the Lord. Notice with me also the qualifications that we need. The supreme qualification for any soul winner is total obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do you know, as I look back over my own life, do you know the times that I was the most unhappy? It was when I was least trusting and least obeying. You look back over your own life and you'll find that. The times in your life when you feel so discouraged. The times in your life when you look at the circumstance of life or the problems of life or the past experiences of life. The times that those will feel the most burdensome is the time that you are walking the furthest away from Christ. And it's the time that you're least trusting. It's the time that you're least obeying Him. But yet if you're walking closer, if you're obeying Him fully, if you're fully surrendered to the Lord, my, how they fade out into the distance and they're gone. Because our mind and our thoughts and our souls, they're so consumed and so overwhelmed with the glory and the joy and the majesty of our Savior. Isn't that right? That's true. That's true. The qualifications that we need, we must be walking in total obedience and total surrender to the Lord. Peter and these other men, they failed on every point. In verse 4, we read that verse there. Notice with me again. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. What a command the Lord gave. Did you notice what it said in verse 4 and what they did in verse 5? It tells us there in verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Oh, he was so excited. Do you see what the Lord commanded him? Let down the nets. Verse 4, let down the nets for a draught. In other words, you let down your nets, there'll be a multitude of fish. Let down the nets and there'll be a wonderful response. Let down the nets and what a catch it's going to be. Simon just, well, Lord, whatever you think, well, we have done it all night, we've caught nothing. But anyway, to keep you happy, we'll let down the net. And that's what he did. They let down the net. They didn't let down the nets, they let down the net. They restricted the Lord. Peter thought he knew more about fishing than the Lord did. And how many times we think we know about Christian living, we know more than the Lord knows. How many times we think we know more about the Lord's work than the Lord knows Himself. That's what Simon thought here, and those men that were with him in that fishing boat. They thought they knew more than the Lord did. It was the Lord that commanded the blessing. What? Let down the nets? There's no use letting down the nets. We've caught nothing. There's no use going down to do an open air. Sure, nobody listens. There's no use going and preaching a sermon. Sure, nobody gets saved. There's no use having a children's mission. Sure, no children get saved. And we begin to become discouraged and downcast. We begin to restrict the Lord. There's no use reading the Bible. Sure, it does me no use. There's no use going to the prayer meeting. Sure, it does me no good. And that's what happens. But those are the very things that the Lord has commanded us to do. And whether we see explanation or whether we see reason or not, those are the things that the Lord has commanded us to do. And those are the very things that we should do. But Simon and those men that were with him, they thought they knew best. And see what happened then. We give the Lord part obedience instead of total obedience. How we are like Peter. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Back into the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and the verse 3. Samuel has commanded Saul here in verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. That was what he was commanded to do. Notice verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, this is Saul, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. What was he commanded to do in verse 3? Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel and ass. What did he do? He went and he spared the king. And he took the best of what they had for themselves. He was disobedient. That is not what he was commanded to do. Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul, come to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He was a liar. He was deceiving himself. He hadn't went all of the way. He had only went some of the way. But yet in his own little mind, he comes to God's man and he says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, he hadn't. Because the commandment, we read it in verse 3. And he hadn't done that. Friend, today, do you think that you have went all out for God, but you haven't? Do you think that you have surrendered fully your life to the Lord, but you haven't? Oh yes, you're saved all right. You are a Christian and you know that you need to be saved and you have repented of your sin and you do your best to live for the Lord. But somewhere in your little mind, you think that you have fully surrendered your life to the Lord. But we haven't. Because we hold back some of the best things for ourselves. Just like Saul did. Just like Saul did. But yet, we deceive ourselves into thinking we have performed that which the Lord had commanded us to do. Your friend, today we need to be fully surrendered. Fully surrendered to the Lord. Notice with me the targets that we must have. We live in a target-driven age. It doesn't matter where you work today. It's all about sales targets, financial targets, production targets. If you're out in the shooting range, it's targets. There's targets everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. Even in Iraq, there's targets. In seeking souls, the Lord wants us to aim at targets. In soul winning, we must have targets. What's your targets for this year in serving the Lord? Do you set yourself any targets, or do you just muddle on being a Christian? The Lord wants us as Christians to have targets. He wants us to have ambitions. He wants us to aim at large results. How do I know? Well, you look at verse 4 of Luke chapter 5. The Lord says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Go out into the deep. Nets. Draught. The Lord Jesus uses words that would indicate success. You think of the fisherman. If you ever are a fisherman, or you ever know a fisherman, or you ever will be a fisherman, you need the right gear. There's no point going to fish without a fishing rod. There's no point going to fish with no bait, or no hook, or no float. You need the proper gear. You need to go all out to be a proper fisherman. You need the right bait. You need to go to the right place. You need to go to the right place to search the right fish. You need to do all that preparation. Then you need to cast the line with the proper bait. You need to wait. You need to be patient. As Christians, we need to launch out into the deep. We have God's word. We have the right gear. We have all that we need to go forward in God's work. We have His precious word. We have His promises that He will go with us, that He will help us, and that He will bless us for it. We need to launch out into the deep. How often do God's people fish in the shallows? How many of God's people just paddle about in the shallow water thinking that they're doing a great work for Him? But they can't. They can't. You will never ever catch a large haul of fish paddling about in the shallow water because the large fish aren't there. Oh yes, you might have the odd large fish that's washed up on the shore like a beached whale or something. I know that. But if you are standing in shallow waters all of the time, you will never catch a large haul of fish. And as a Christian, if you want to catch the large hauls of fish in the service for the Lord, you need to launch out into the deep. You can't paddle about in shallow water with your trousers rolled up to your knees for all of your Christian life. The Lord says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. And as Christians, that's exactly what we need to do. The big fish, they're further out. The big fish are away out there and we need to go away out there and get them. Coleraine is full of big fish. Do you know what you need to do? Is go away out there and get them. Your workplace is full of big fish. Your housing estate where you live is full of big fish. You need to go away out there and get them. It's an easy thing to sit in a church and paddle about in the shallow waters and do a little work for God. You need to go out and get the big fish. Be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. The more faith that we have, the more God will give you. It was felt in Ballymoney that we should have a children's mission, an outreach mission. We have one in the church, but we felt that we should go to another place and have an outreach children's mission. And we had one in Moss Side, and thank the Lord, two little souls got saved. But I had the task on the Monday of going to the hall and leaving in some of the stuff and putting out the chairs and all the rest of it. And do you know how many chairs I put out on the Monday? I put out about 20 chairs on the Monday. It was a small place. We didn't really know what the response would be. We just weren't sure. On the Thursday night, we had the largest number of children throughout that whole week, and we had 56 children. Now, was that not a rebuke for me? How often do we limit the Lord? I limited him to 20 chairs, but yet we had 56 children. And then there would have been probably two dozen workers on top of that. According to your faith, be it unto you. The more faith that we have, the more the Lord will give. Daniel 11:32, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits for him. Let us leave the safety of our boats. Let us get out of the shallow waters and launch out into the deep. Do you know why people stay paddling about in the shallow waters? Do you know why they don't go out into the deep? Because there's more danger there. The currents are stronger. There's more opposition. There's more problems. Deeper waters pose greater risks. And that's why Christians stay in the shallow waters. Just doing a little bit and not going after the bigger fish. Not going out into the deep. You need to launch out into the deep. That's what the Lord says. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draft. I wonder today, will you do that? Notice with me the fellowship suggested. We don't have time to look at these things. Look at the fellowship suggested whenever these men brought in the nets. Look at the haul of fishes that they had. Verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. Then what did they do in verse 7? They beckoned unto their partners that were in the other ship. Come and help us. Come, look at the haul of fish that we have. Come and help us. That's what they said. How many Christians in various churches today, they're maybe seeing something done for God, or maybe even other churches, and there's something happening there. And they're wagging over at their other friends and saying, yo, look what we're doing. Look what the Lord's doing for us. Look what's happening with us. And they let their other friends stay away over there. They let their other friends struggle. There's no fellowship. We should pray for and have fellowship with other believers. Do you know there are so many things to divide and hinder the work in different churches? Pride, prejudices, jealousies, wrong attitude. Silly little things that creep in and then create a whole ruction in the work. What did these men do? They had the haul of fish and they cried out to their friends, come over and help us. We need your help. And maybe you are here in Coleraine and you look at the various divisions of the churches and you see people that's working away in those different areas, the youth work, children's work, outreach work, whatever it is, and you're looking at your friends over there and you're seeing what is being done for the Lord. Oh, they don't need me. They don't need me. Oh, they wouldn't want me. I'm too foolish. I'm not learned. I can't preach. What does the Lord want? He wants the foolish things. He wants the unlearned things. He wants the foolish things to confound the wise. So the Lord does want you. And the various divisions of the church is calling out for your help. Come over and help us. But you know why you won't go? Because you're paddling about in the shallow waters. And you won't launch out into the deep with them. And you're not going to be there whenever the great haul of fishes are drawn up, because you'll not be there. You'll be at the shore. You'll be in the shallow water. And the great haul of fishes will be out there, out in the deep. And the Lord will give what a glorious increase. You know, there's tremendous truths there for us to learn. And notice with me, lastly, the place to take. Whenever we have done our utmost best for the Lord, what should we do? We should do what Simon did in verse 8. He falls down at Jesus' knees and thanked the Lord. What did he say? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He had doubted the Lord. He had restricted the Lord. He had prohibited the Lord in the Lord's own work. And how often do we do that? Whatever we do, however we have served the Lord, however much we love the Lord, there is only one place for us to be, and that is at the Lord's feet. There is no room for self-pride. There is no room for self-congratulations in the Lord's work. We must remember that without the Lord, we can do nothing. How wonderful it is to be in the Lord's work. How wonderful a thing it is to serve the Lord. Let me encourage you today, friend. Launch out into the deep. The Lord will go with you. let down your nets. Don't let down the net. Let down the nets for a draught. And what a wonderful catch the Lord will give to you. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Well, you're one of the big fish that we want today. Will you not get saved? Will you not come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? You're one of those little fishes that's just swimming away, way, way out into deep, dangerous water. I wonder, will you not come to Christ? Come to the safety of the boat. You can't really tell a fish that, can you? Come out of that dangerous water, into the safety of the boat, and then you eat it with chips. Friend, today you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Young person today, don't waste your life. Don't squander your life. Give it to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven.